Rob asked me what he could say about me, and I didn't tell him how old I was because I was afraid he'd mention that. Linda and I were talking on the way here this morning about how many different Brethren in Christ churches I have had the opportunity to preach in. I retired 5 years ago, and for a long time it was every other week I was somewhere else. And we visited here, and you folks made us welcome. Thank you so very much for that. I believe this is the biggest venue that I have ever preached from, or in front of. So, someone asked me this morning, are you nervous? I said, yes, nervous is okay. We have so much felt your love that I'm not afraid. Nervous maybe, but not afraid. The title of my message this morning is Things Disease Cannot Touch. I chose that because so many people here and so many people in other places that we've become acquainted with have been touched by disease. And so I just felt it was right to turn to Mark chapter 5 and read about a lady who was sick. So if you have your Bible, and I don't know, are you gentlemen going to put that on the screen? I don't know how this is operating today, but if not, I'm going to read the scripture for you anyway. So I just want to give you a little background. Jesus had been approached by Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, who came pleading with him that he would come and touch his sick daughter who was about to die, he said. And Jesus said yes, and so they started out. So in Mark chapter 5, we read this. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Now, you won't find this if you have your Bible open, but the disciples replied to him, and I think they had a little bit of a, are you kidding me, attitude. They said, you see these people crowding against you? And yet you can ask, who touched me? Now, I think that's not far from the way they would have sounded and the way we would sound in a crowd touching just his clothes. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, I don't know what her suffering, what her condition was the result of. Was it a cancer? It's just not clear what it was a result of. They didn't have the medical understanding that we have now. I wonder if the word cancer even existed, because today it's applied in so many different ways. And I know that many types of cancer are related to the reproductive system. And I also know that cancer is a disease that can do many of the same things that this lady endured. So here are a few things that disease can touch. Disease can touch your time. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. Most of our health problems these days are short-term. A cold lasts a few days, the flu maybe a week or a little longer. Some injuries that we have take months and some years to recoup from, rehab. However, so many folks who deal with cancer are in a grinding marathon. It's there every morning. It's there every evening. For days and weeks and months and years. Outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment, surgeries, different trials of medications. My own mother, some of you have met my mother. She's with the Lord today. Actually, she died in the parsonage basement at Van Leer when I was the pastor there. I slept on the sofa beside her hospital bed, and on Saturday night, she always wanted to talk. And finally, I'd have to say, "Mom, I have to preach in the morning." Let me tell you just one thing about my mom. Her cancer started out with breast cancer and went to her bones, and the doctor told me that he had never seen it. He said in x-rays, it looked as though somebody shot her with a shotgun. And when I'd pick her up off the sofa to take her to the bathroom, put her in the wheelchair and take her to the bathroom, folks, I could feel her bones cracking. I think cancer people, cancer sufferers, are heroic. Heroic. Disease can touch your time. My mother suffered for 5 years, my sister-in-law for just over 2 years. You all have people in your lives who've been touched by something, and everybody has a story. Disease can touch your status. This woman suffered for 12 years with bleeding. That meant she couldn't go to church. She couldn't go to church. She was unclean. And if you touched her, you were unclean, and then you couldn't go to church. She was a church outcast almost. And even in society, people did not want to be around her, because they saw what was happening to her and they didn't want to be a part of that. And some things, I think, just should not be. Sometimes things like cancer bring a stigma. Maybe it's the physical toll that takes on people that we can't stand to look at. Maybe it's the response to chemo or radiation or whatever. Maybe it's the appearance of the cancer itself. Some cancer patients feel as if folks treat them like they're conditions contagious. That should not be. When you respond to somebody that has cancer, it's more than talking to us, each other back and forth and saying, "Have you heard how so-and-so is doing? Did you hear that so-and-so has cancer?" Folks, I challenge you to be the church today. You want to know how somebody's doing with their cancer? Call them. Ask them. Don't talk to each other. Talk to them. You know why I say that? I say that because people who are suffering, whether it's cancer or anything else, unless they're quarantined, go see them. It is lonely to be ill with disease. It touches your status, and it touches your status in the world, and it should not touch your status in the church. The church should be out there. That's a little aside. I confess, I put that in my notes. But I think it's extraordinarily sad when someone comes to someone else who is sick and they say to them, "It's because of sin in your life. You're being punished." Sounds like Job's friends, doesn't it? And even just as sad is when someone comes and says this, "Please don't say this. If you just had enough faith, you'd be healed." I started out as a youth pastor at the New Guilford Church, and I'd be involved in the opening of the service, and then I'd go downstairs and start up the hallway to go upstairs and sit with my family. And one day I did that, and I'm going up the hallway, and at that end of the hallway was a library, and in that library was a lady, and she was sobbing uncontrollably. "Sorry, I get emotional." No, I'm not sorry. Some of you would know her, Lillian Wingert, and her husband Laban. Lillian was in there because their daughter Cheryl was struggling with a disease that caused hardening of the muscles. And someone had said to Lillian that day, if you just have enough faith, Cheryl can be healed. Well, I talked to Cheryl about her disease. I went to visit her when she was home from California. And she called me from California and said, will you do my funeral? I know I'm dying. Will you do my funeral? Nobody else ever talked to me about my disease. So she gave me her journal. And you know what it said? Someone said to me, if you just have enough faith, you can be healed. And the next line said this, how much faith is enough? Cancer can touch your status. Don't leave people with disease out there. Go to them. Cancer, disease can touch your finances. The woman in this account had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, what happened? She grew worse. And that's not a knock on doctors in her time. I bet you they did everything they could to find out how in the world can we treat this lady. But you know, being a physician doesn't always mean you have the answer. But also being sick can be expensive. Medical treatments are expensive. Even if you have decent insurance, medical treatments are expensive. There's always something that you have to pay for, out-of-pocket expenses. Be aware of that if someone amongst you, amongst us, is struggling. I don't know if I've been here long enough to say this. Someone said to me this morning, do you always preach from notes? Yes. Do you always use them? I listen closely to what the Lord wants me to say. So here, I'm going to say this. I don't know if I've been here long enough to say this. But I'm going to say it anyway, because the Lord said, say this. And so here it comes. I read your board report, and I saw the financial report. Okay, and it's great. I love it. I love the giving and the roof thing. But there are people who are sick that may need help and they don't want to ask. So be bold. Reach deeply. Ask them, do you have a need? I think that's all there. We'll find out, won't we? I think that's all. Disease can touch your finances, okay? We all know that. We all have a story we can tell about that. Disease can touch your strength. This lady had suffered under the care of many doctors, but instead of getting better, she got worse. And I know people, after almost 30 years of pastoring, I've known lots of people who've had that happen, and they wonder, what in the world's going on? I've gone to the doctor, and he's treating me, and I'm getting worse. I don't get this. She grew worse. Cancer patients know well that in facing their disease, they can get worse before they get better. The treatment is sometimes worse than the cancer. The disease is sometimes worse than the medication. Or the medication is worse than the disease. Disease or any illness, cancer, anything can do a lot of terrible things to people. And I still say they're heroic when it's long term. And goes on and on and on. They wouldn't choose a battle like that. If you've never had a battle like that, you should be praising God every day, because I'm sure you know someone who has. It's a great physical, mental, and emotional challenge and stands well above any other physical and financial accomplishment just to be strong through the whole deal. And sometimes it's hard. But that's all that disease can touch. There's a good news side here. There are things that disease cannot touch. One of my favorite college basketball coaches of all time was a coach called by the name of Jim Valvano. If you're an old guy like me and you like basketball, you recognize that name. He was so animated, and he up and down the sideline and pointing, and he didn't have many set plays in his game at all. Those guys just looked like they were running around out there doing their own thing. And they were unstoppable. They won the NCAA championship one year. And it was all because, how do you guard somebody when they're just running everywhere? I loved Jim Valvano. In 1992, he was diagnosed with bone cancer. This is what he said when he got the diagnosis. "Cancer can take away all my physical abilities, but it cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. Those three things are going to carry on forever." You see, Jim Valvano was a believer in Christ Jesus, our Lord. His statement was saying, "Cancer cannot touch my faith." When this lady heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And a bit later, Jesus affirmed, "It was your faith that made you whole. It was your trust that made you whole." Don't ever get the idea that a sickness is due to a lack of faith. Sickness of any kind is going to hit you sometime. If it never does, you have been truly blessed. I was not sick for 22 months until January of this year. And it surprised me. I thought I was beyond getting sick. It's like the Lord said, "You're going to be sick." Maybe you've slowed me down, I don't know. Faith is not the mountaintop. But great faith is moving forward in the grind, whatever that grind might be, and trusting in the Lord on that pathway. Hanging in there with God, never ever giving up. I would not wish illness on anyone. But there are times when doing battle with illness strengthens your faith, knowing God is going to heal you one way or another. My mother always said, "If God gives me the morning, I'm claiming the whole day." And boy, we walked that cancer path for some time. Up and down, up and down. The day she died, our caregiver came up from the basement where we had set up the basement just like her apartment that she had lived in, my mother's apartment, and said, "I don't think your mother's going to make it today. She's got a temperature of 108. Yeah, 108. That's what I said. Oh. I went to the basement. I sat beside my mother. I took her in my arms. I'd prayed on the way down, and I prayed while I sat there, and I took her in my arms, and I said, "Mom, I don't think God's giving you the morning, but it's okay to go. God will heal you one way or another. Disease cannot touch your faith. Disease cannot touch love. One of the best byproducts, if there is such a thing, of cancer is the love that is shown through relationships. Don't be afraid to hug somebody just because they have cancer. Don't be afraid to hug somebody who is sick. If you have to put a mask on, put a mask on. Touch them. The physical touch is so extremely important when someone is struggling with disease. But disease can't touch love, because helping hurting people brings out the best in us. It shakes up our priorities. It reminds us that the greatest things in life are not things at all. The greatest things in life are relationships. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's relationship, is it not? It's a love relationship. God says, "I love you, I've always loved you, I will never stop loving you. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do that will ever separate you and me. You are my child." Oh, and by the way, just in case you have a relationship with Christ and you know somebody that doesn't and you think God doesn't love them because they've never given their life to Christ, don't go there. God created them too and he loves them. If you're going to go there, talk to him about Jesus and what he's done for you. Be in relationship because disease can't touch love. Even better, disease cannot touch eternity. Disease can't touch eternity. Amen? Oh. Let's try that. Disease cannot touch eternity. Amen? Amen. Oh, that's much better. I love that. I thought maybe you all fell asleep on me there. And I know enough of you that I can call you by name. If I see you nodding, I'll get you. Eventually, this lady died of something. You see, we can cheat death sometime for a season, but the Bible said man is destined to die once. But there's a way to beat death, and that comes through choosing to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The rest of Jim Valbuono's quote was this: "Cancer can't kill me, because I'm going to live forever. It can follow me some places, but it cannot follow me to heaven." Do you have that assurance that whatever you're suffering today cannot follow you to heaven? I just think that's such a fantastic statement. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and nothing of disease is going to follow you to heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, and I believe it's true in the here and now, our citizenship is in heaven. If you have been redeemed from your sinful life through the blood of Jesus Christ and washed clean by him, you're still living here, but your citizenship, you're not an illegal alien in heaven. Your citizenship is already there. Your passport is stamped. And none of your illnesses is going to follow you there. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies, getting rid of all the stuff so that they will be like his glorious body. Let that sink in a moment. You see, if we've been united with him in his death, we're also united with him in his resurrection. Do you know the story of Thomas, the doubter Thomas? You know that story? Do you know what Thomas said? Can somebody tell me what Thomas said? "Unless I see his hands and his side and put my fingers in those marks and my hand in his side, I won't believe it." After the resurrection. When you get to heaven, if you're going to wonder how you're going to identify Jesus other than the fact that he's sitting at the right hand of God, when he goes like this, you'll know it's him. He has his scars. I wonder about ours. Will we have our scars to remember things by? I don't know. even his glorious body, he took the scars with him. We'll always remember the price he paid. I share the story of Paul Azinger, professional golfer. If you're an old guy and you like golf, you remember him. Just like Jim Valvano, you know. If you're an old guy, you remember these guys. He had just won a PGA tournament championship, and he had 10 tournament victories to his credit, which means he had a lot of money. And he was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 33. He wrote, "A genuine feeling of fear came over me." And folks, in all the years that you and I have been around, you have known people that have cancer, and you know, you hear that a lot. "I'm so afraid. The unknown's always scary." Then another reality hit me even harder. He said, "I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when. And everything I've accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was live." Then he remembered something that the chaplain, Larry Moody, who teaches a Bible study on the tour, the PGA Tour, said to him. He said, "Zinger, give me a second. He said, "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying going to the land of the living." That bout with cancer so deepened Paul Azinger's perspective that he wrote this: "I made a lot of money since I've been on the tour, and I've won a lot of tournaments, but that happiness is only temporary. The only way you'll ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying nothing ever bothers me and I don't have problems, but I've found the answer to fearing death." So I ask, where are you today? Where in the walk of disease are you today? And if you're not in it yourself, you're in it with somebody. Everybody has a story. Where in your walk is the assurance that you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? And regardless of the outcome, I just shared with somebody this week, this life is our story in God's story. Regardless of the outcome, you're in his story. Do you have that assurance today through Christ Jesus? Is there something troubling you, working on you, that you need to bring to the altar of God and say, "I'm so afraid"? There's a song, "In Christ Alone." It ends with these words: "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand." I've asked Rob if we could sing that this morning. And we're going to do that right now, in Christ alone. Let's stand together. And as we sing, would you reflect on where you are right now? And if you need prayer, if you want to talk, I'll be around. I'd love to pray with you. Tony Campala tells a story of preaching one time in Oregon. And a man was in the crowd, in the congregation. And his wife asked Tony to pray for him. He had cancer. And so they anointed him and prayed over him. And the next week, Tony Campala got a phone call. And it was this man's wife. And she said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer. And Tony says, I heard the word had. And I thought, great. And then she said, and he died. And he said, it just struck me so. But she went on. And this is what she said. Don't feel bad. When he came to church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to die in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and his grandchildren grow up. And he was angry that this all-powerful God did not take that illness from him. The more his anger grew towards God, the harder he got, and it was terrible just to be around him. But then she said, after you prayed for him, a peace came over him, and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last three days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've shared scripture, we prayed. Oh, how wonderful the days. And I called to thank you for laying hands on him and praying. He was not cured, but he was healed. The best counsel I can give you today in life and death, sickness, health, good days, bad days, is reach out and touch Jesus. Go in peace.